Señor, decimos de gloria.
Sí.
Oh, glory for glory, sí, 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 Señor.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Samsara Sagare Magnam Dinamam Karunanidhe Karma Graha Grahitangam Mamudhara Bhavarnavat Srimad Bhagavatakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi Svikrado Simayanatha Muktyartam Bhavasagare Manorade Madiyoyam Sabhala Sarvadatvayam Vigne Neiva Kartavyam Dasopam Tava Keshavam Bhave Bhave Yadha Bhakti Padayor Sava Jayate Tadha Kurushva Devesha Nadastvam No Yada Prabho Namasam Kirtanam Yasyam Sarva Bhava Pranashanam Pranamo Dukha Shamanam Tam Namami Harim Param Janmadhyasya Yadonvaya Itaradas Artheshva Vidyaswaran Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikavai Muhyanti Yat Surayam Tejo Varimrudam Yadha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrusha Dhamna Svena Sada Nirasta Kuhagam Satyam Param Dhimahi Dharma Projjita Kaida Votra Paramo Nurmat Saranam Sadam Vedyam Vastavamatra Vastu Shivadam Tavatrayon Mulanam Shaimad Bhagavade Mahamunigrade Kimbabare Ishwara Sadhyo Hridhya Varudhya Detra Gridibi Shushushubhittakshana Nigamagalpanar Orgalidam Bhalam Shugamukhadam Rudadravasam Yudam Pibada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Murahorasiga Bhuvi Bhavugam Sachidananda Rupayam Vishwotpatyadi Hedave Tapatraya Vinashaya Shri Krishnaya Vayam Numah Yam Brahmrajandam Anuvedam Avedakrityam Dvaivayano Virahakadaram Ajuhava Putredi Tanmaidayattaravo Vinedu Tam Sarvabhudakdayam Munim Anatosmi Yaswanubhavam Akhila Shudisaravegam Adhyatma divam aditetirshadam tamondam samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasa soilam upayami gurum muninam narayanam namaskritya naram jaivarottamam devim saraswadim vyasam tado jayamudirayen kamaniya kishore mughamurte kalavenu kunidadradananendoho Mama Vaji Vijambala Murarir Madurina Kanikavi Kavi Kavi Mama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhudale Srimade Bhakti Vedanda Swamin Idinaminim Namaste Saraswati Devim Gauravani Prajarine Nurvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Adeshadarine Srimal Guru Charanaravinda Abhyam Namah Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenum Abhishnasha Yasam Hariyadot Gidam Punani Bhuvanatrayam Gopi Charanaravinda Paramanavi Nama Pidambaram Karavirajita Chakrashangham Kaudagi Sarasijam Karuna Samudram Radha Sahayam Adisundaram Andahasam Vatalaye Shamanisham Hridibhavayami Komalam Pujayam Venum Shamaloyam Kumaraka വേദവേദ്യ പരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസതം പുരതോ മമാം മൂഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യത്കൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ
One thing that we'll start the Bhagavad Gita classes tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock in Barmet. Yeah. Okay. So coming back to Ekadasha Skandam, we were discussing last Sunday what Krishna has spoken in the 11th chapter, isn't it? Krishna was saying there that Vaisharade Ikshaya Asangasideya Chinna Samshayaha. Krishna put 3-4 words there, very, very important words. He says there that Vaisharadi Iksha. Vaisharadi Iksha means, we were discussing this, that Vaisharadi Buddhi is an important thing in spiritual life. Therefore, when it comes to even Krishna consciousness, when we are discussing Krishna consciousness, Krishna is saying that the spiritual realization comes from this Vaisharadi Buddhi. Vaisharadi Buddhi is that what leads us to that. What leads us to that? We saw there that the, if you remember the chapter in the, I think it was in the, വൈശാരദി സാധി വിശുദ്ധ ബുദ്ധേർ ദുനോധിമായാം ഗുണസംപ്രസൂതാം കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദയാം. ആൻഡ് വെൻ ഡസ് ദിസ് വൈശാരദി ബുദ്ധി ഡിവലപ്സ് ഇൻ എ പേഴ്സൺ? ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ, ഇസ്ന്റ് ഇറ്റ്? ഹൗ ഡസ് ദിസ് വൺ ഡിവലപ്സ് ദിസ് വൈശാരദി ബുദ്ധി? വൈശാരദി ബുദ്ധി കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദയാം ദാറ്റ് ദി ഇറ്റ് കംസ് ഫ്രം സെവറൽ തിങ്സ്. ദാറ്റ് വെൻ വൺ ബിക്കംസ് സീരിയസ് അബൌട്ട് സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ്, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് സ്റ്റെപ്പ്. When one becomes very serious about the spiritual life. Serious in the sense that I want to escape from this material life once for all. Don't want to come back here again. This, when one is convinced on that, then Krishna is saying that this Vaisharadi Buddhi can develop easily in a person. Because, as you know, that Krishna says that one has to decide that I want to do something for myself first. That is the first decision one has to make. I want to do something good for myself. At the moment, we are thinking about the rest of the world, to good to others, isn't it? Without thinking about yourself. But Krishna says, when you make a decision that I want to do something for some solution to problems what I am going through, and if you make that decision, Krishna says, the next thing that will happen is that you will see in this world that it is impossible to change the external conditions of this world. So therefore, constantly after making that decision, Krishna says that the mind, body and the intelligence, when one starts executing one's karma without any attachment to the results or with the understanding that I am the doer, Krishna says that will help him to develop this Vaisharadi Buddhi. It is a very, very important decision in life, this decision to turn to oneself.
Generally, we don't look at ourselves. We look at the rest of the world, isn't it? And we want to solve all the other problems of this world. So, in this connection, Krishna's point is, Vaisharadi Sati Vishuddha Buddheya. When one started looking inwards, he started saying that the external world is not actually responsible for my distress. On the other hand, it is my own mind what has actually caused all these problems. So we'll come to that conclusion, because external world, however hard you try to change or alter, it will take its own course. It will go in that direction. You have no control over that. That is material nature, prakriti, maya. It's maya's world it is. Maya takes its own route. And how maya will act in any particular situation, it's very difficult to say. So therefore, from the Krishna consciousness point of view, the first thing is to look inwards to realize the truth. Krishna is present inside as the soul. And in that process, when the mind and intelligence is peaceful, that one starts looking inwards to see that Krishna is present inside, and satsangam is only an opportunity for that, to be reminded of that. That's what happens in satsangam. We actually forget this. We forget all this, our connection with Krishna, our identity, relationship with Krishna. All that is forgotten. For a long, long time, we have forgotten all these things. And we have, based on our mind and intelligence, we are thinking some relationship with this external world, and is trying to find a solution to our problems inside this world. Krishna says, this has to go. This has to go. And when this thinking nature or the intelligence or mind moves away its attention from the world outside to inside, thinking about the soul, at that point, Vaisharadi Buddhi has started working in a person. Till that time, it hasn't worked. So many things we do in this world without the proper understanding of these things. And this happens to everyone. It's not that it is common to only a few people. It happens to everybody. Till the point we come to this understanding that I have to find a solution to my own problems, number one. And the problem is that I have to escape from this material existence. Escaping means from this material existence, accepting another material body again. Once for all, we have to make that decision within ourselves. Otherwise, this is not going to happen. That's the point Krishna is making here. So, when that decision is made, and when one has drawn his attention from the world outside through the mind and intelligence, and focus and shift the attention from world outside towards the soul, Krishna is present inside as the soul, then his Vaisharadi Buddhi will start working. Otherwise, Vaisharadi Buddhi hasn't developed for him yet. That's the point he mentions there. Vaisharadi Sati Vishuddha Buddheya. Vishuddha Buddheya means the intelligence is purified. His intelligence is purified. You can see sometimes people busy in this world throughout life arguing, disagreeing with each other, and even on spiritual matters they have disagreements all the time. You are not right, I am right. And this way they continue discussing this on the different occasions. And the idea behind that all is that they want to make sure that what they are following is the right path, the others are following the wrong path. But Krishna's point is, no matter which religion you belong to, whether you call yourself as a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian, all of them have to suffer material existence. There is no doubt about that, isn't it? Material existence is common to everyone. What does that mean? Birth, death, old age and disease, the four things which Krishna has mentioned before. So, material existence is common to all. It doesn't leave anyone. Nobody can say that I belong to a particular sect, I don't have material existence. No, material existence is for everybody. So, the science Krishna is presenting here to us is that how not to come back to this material existence once again. That is the point Krishna is pointing out. That not to get back to this material body once again, and how to go back home, back to Krishna or back to the spiritual world, whichever way the living entity has desired to go. So, here in that connection, Krishna is saying here, when one executes his sadhana, that means chanting the holy name and completely absorbed in serving Krishna, like the meditations, Krishna meditations to call it, or Dhyana Yogam in the Bhagavad Gita you can see. If you understand Dhyana Yogam properly, you will understand what Krishna is talking about. Dhyana Yogam chapter, the sixth chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, is a very, very important chapter. In fact, every chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is important. But this particularly the sixth chapter, when Krishna talks about Dhyana Yogam, he will tell us that this so-called bhakti, what we are talking about, how that bhakti is strengthened with the power of dhyanam. That is what it is all about. Dhyana Yogam helps a person to strengthen that bhakti. Bhakti means constant remembrance of Krishna, not to forget Krishna even for a second in life. Our nature is, because we are in the sadhana stage, often we have separated Krishna from our material life. Our material life is separate, Krishna is separate. But this stage has to go, and it has to come to this state where our mind is completely absorbed, except Krishna, nothing else exists in this world. To that stage to come, Dhyana Yogam can help. That's what Krishna says there in the Bhagavad Gita. So here also, when one is focused in that way, he becomes serious about Krishna consciousness, and his desire increases day by day, that to how to get back to Krishna, how to get realize the self. This truth becomes serious in his mind, and he wants to free oneself from this material existence once for all. So it is in that process Krishna talked about satsangam, isn't it? We were discussing about satsangam, and he said there also, that was in the 12th chapter. If you look, you will see there in the beginning of the 12th chapter, he says,
Naravadhyati mam yogo na sanghyam na uddhavam na swadhyayam tapatyagam ishtapurtam na dakshinam vradani yajna chandamsi tirthani nemayamaha yathavarunde salsangam sarvasangapaho himam.
So he spoke to Uddhava. Krishna says to Uddhava that Naravadhyati mam yogo na sanghyam na uddhavam. Uddhava, none of those things what we have discussed before is as powerful as satsangam. So that's what the important point Krishna says there, that satsangam's glory, Krishna wants to repeat and stress it again and again. There is no other process more powerful than satsangam. Satsangam's glory is spoken there, that while executing satsangam, one should also be careful about this. While one is having satsangam, one sadhana should not suffer because of that. One should continue with the sadhana. One should engage his activities in such a way. These are all things what Krishna is saying here for a fast track progress in spiritual life. Otherwise it can go its own slow process, which is our normal, the way we live in this world. But Krishna is saying here, because Ekadasha Skandam is a serious thing. Uddhava wants to leave this world. Uddhava wants to go back. And Uddhava doesn't want to come back here again. Therefore, Uddhava is saying here, Krishna is saying here, Uddhava, those who want to come back to the spiritual world without any more delay and doesn't want to stay here anymore, he has to follow this process. Important factor is satsangam, association, all the time hearing about Krishna. That is satsangam. Krishna means the soul. That's number one. Number two, the constant endeavor, sadhana, strong sadhana, particularly chanting the holy name of Krishna, the Mahamantra, all the time chanting. And thirdly, more important all these things is execution of one's activities in this world without expectation of any results. Without expectation of any results. Because it is that Nishkama Karmam, that's it. Krishna calls different names in the Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes he calls it as Nishkama Karmam. Sometimes he calls it as Naishkarmya Siddhi. He calls another word by Naishkarmya Siddhi in the Bhagavatam. There is literature of literature written about this Naishkarmya Siddhi. How to tie up karmam with bhakti. How to tie up jnanam with bhakti. This is the important thing. That karmam, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, seriously if you see, there are two paths Krishna has spoken, isn't it? In the fourth chapter, you will see there, Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Karma Yogam and Jnana Yogam is the two processes discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. Seriously. But then we say that Krishna is always talking about bhakti. But because without bhakti, neither jnanam nor karmam can survive. It will not last very long. So, before we talk about Bhakti Yoga, we should know that Krishna is expecting from us a certain standard in our life also, day-to-day life. And that standard is that whatever that is executed in this world, karma, whatever karma we are executing, it should be done completely for Krishna's pleasure. That is important. It's not salaried job. It is a complete offering to Krishna everything. That is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it has no meaning. So therefore, Krishna is saying here, Naishkarma Siddhi, that Karma Yoga plus Bhakti is Bhagavata Dharma. We were talking about it last time. Karma Yoga plus Bhakti is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma is not different than Karma Yoga. But Karma Yoga, when it is executed for Krishna's pleasure, it becomes Bhagavata Dharma. That's the only difference. That people give different definitions to Karma Yoga, but strictly speaking, Karma Yoga is that execution of activities for Krishna's pleasure. What does that mean? Four things we talked about that before. I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. Krishna is using me as a tool in executing, in propagating Krishna consciousness, whatever activities we are doing. That is number one, and any results that comes from that is for Krishna's pleasure. So, Ahamityanyadha Buddhi, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, must go from there. Otherwise, it is not Karma Yoga. Secondly, that any action in this world create ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion. So, if activities are executed with this understanding for Krishna's pleasure, it should not cause ragam and dvesham in a person. Ragam and dvesham in a person. What we see in this world is great swamis and yogis, they come to spiritual life and they have so much ragam and dvesham within themselves, then they get into difficulties later. So Krishna says, warns us there that ragadvesham vimukteistu. In the second chapter you will read. You can read this in the Bhagavad Gita. Ragadvesham vimukteistu. Only after freeing from ragam and dvesham, if you execute Krishna consciousness, it will work. Otherwise, it is not going to work. Ragadvesha vimukteistu. And similarly, that I am the doer, the proprietorship also must go from that. Krishna says there. So, whatever, does that mean that we cannot execute any karmam in this world? Whatever karmam one has to do in this world, that is prarabdham. That if that prarabdha karmam, if it is handled in such a way as though it is a seva to the others, we all come here to settle our accounts with other people. That's why we are all here. Family members and family connections are all coming from that. So whatever we have to do for them, it should be done happily. But it should be left at that. It should not be taken beyond than that. That is the point Krishna is making. If one does like that, and one lives like that, Krishna says, Vaisharadi Buddhi will develop in a person like that. Such a person only will have Vaisharadi Buddhi. So this Vaisharadi Buddhi's nature, that you will see there, that if we continuously work in this way, in this world, if we continuously engage in this way, our intelligence has an unbelievable power inside. Unbelievable power. And that is known as Vaisharadi Buddhi. Krishna calls it as Vaisharadi Buddhi earlier. Later on, now Krishna calls it as Vaisharadi Icha. Icha means that vision based in Vaisharadi Buddhi. Ichana means to see. To see with Vaisharadi Buddhi. Vaisharadi Icha Asanga Sridaya Chinna Samshaya Aham. As soon as he decides that, he does not want anything to do with this world. So it is some decision one has to make within oneself that I have nothing to do in this world. My connection is with Krishna. So if that is decided, Krishna says, that then what will happen is for him, he will realize that this material body is simply an outer covering. It's simply an outer covering. And from that day onwards, he is waiting for the body to drop. He's waiting for the body to drop. Now, a person who has that Vaisharadi Buddhi, he will not be too much concerned about the bodily maintenance. Bodily maintenance is not an issue for him. Body is surviving in this world because of material nature. We have talked about this so many times. Material nature, body belongs to material nature. We belong to Krishna. We should not try to do business with temporary thing, and we should not try to do business with permanent thing and take shelter of the temporary thing. That's what most of us do. We will tell you what the problem is. Krishna is permanent. The soul is permanent. Material nature is temporary. Material nature is temporary. What we are trying to do is, we are trying to take shelter of the material nature or Maya, and we try to do business with the soul, Krishna. Soul is permanent. If we do vyavahara, vyavahara means these transactions. If we do transactions with Krishna, expecting things in return, if we do transactions with Krishna, what will happen is our transactions will become permanent because Krishna is permanent. If we take shelter of the temporary material nature, we will suffer because it is temporary. This is how it works. That's why Krishna is saying here, Vaisharadi Isha Asanga Shriya Chinna Samshayaha. He is clear in his head. Two things exist in this world. One is permanent and one is temporary. We see that from the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Nasade vidyade bhavo na bhavo vidyade sada vayora vidrishtvandam stanayor tatvadarshibi. One who has realized the truth already established that soul is the permanent thing, everything else is temporary. Material nature is a temporary thing. Normally, most of us, what we do, we take shelter of the material nature because we want to live in this world, we say. So in order to live in this world, we make all adjustments in the material nature and try to take shelter of the material nature. And with Krishna, we try to do business with Krishna. We say to Krishna, look, if you give me all these things, I'll do all this for you. So what is happening now in ourselves, within us, if you look yourselves or all of us, if we look ourselves, we will see our relationship with Krishna is in this way. Business with Krishna, shelter in material nature. Krishna is permanent, material nature is temporary. So what will happen? Our business will remain as business forever. Because Krishna is permanent and we are doing business with the permanent thing. Because it's a permanent thing, Krishna, our business will also remain as a permanent thing. Whereas material nature, because it's temporary, it's not worthwhile taking shelter of. If you take shelter of material nature, which is temporary, material nature won't protect you because it's temporary. It's always changing, isn't it? The six kinds of changes that happen, Shad Parinamam, they call it. That happens in the material nature continuously. If you observe, you can see that. It takes birth, grows for some time, have some products, and then it stays for some time, starts decay, and eventually dies. These are the six stages of changes that happens in the material nature. So Krishna's point is, do not do vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means these transactions with Krishna. With Krishna, open mind, complete shelter of Krishna. With material nature, indifference. Because we do not want to be. Body belongs to material nature. One day we have to hand it over the body to the material nature and go from here. That is fixed already. That's already fixed. So therefore, there you have no choice what you have to do. The proper way, as Krishna says here, is that Vaishara Dikshaya Asanga Sideya. Asanga Sideya means this, that he is clear in his head. Krishna is permanent, material nature is temporary. I'm not taking shelter of material nature. I'm taking Krishna shelter. Chinna Samshayaha. Chinna Samshayaha. These doubts have completely gone away from inside. These doubts have completely gone away from inside. So, as much as these thoughts developing inside, Upanishads are saying, in the Mandukya Upanishad, you will read this statement. Edam annamayam alpanam upasangramya. That once you start breaking this barrier of the body, first that's where it starts from. That through Vaisharadi Buddhi, we have developed this understanding that I'm not going to work for this body anymore. I'm going to look after the interests of the soul, my spiritual identity. Once that decision is taken, then our inward looking nature starts building up inside. And how does that happen? That's how Upanishad says, Edam annam alpanam, edam annamayam alpanam upasangramya. First you will break this sheath of the external material body. That attachment to that material body goes away. Then edam pranamayam alpanam upasangramya. Then after that the pranan inside to which we are attached to, that also will go. That also will go. Because at some point in time, once the bodily connections or bodily attachment goes away, then the pranamaya kosham, the next one, which is generating the hunger, thirst and things like that inside, that attachment will also go. That's what Krishna is saying. Then after that, edan manomayam atmanam upasangramya. after that manomayam inside is that mental platform which is very difficult to overcome. So it does not happen that you break one and then only go to the next one. Simultaneously one has to work through all these six different phases. Manomayam Atmanam Uvasangramya. Then after that, Vijnanamayam Atmanam Uvasangramya. Now after breaking away from this Manomayam mental shape, there is the intellectual side which has to get through. You can see the intellectual platform, how much problem it causes for us. Especially the big thinkers, philosophers, scientists and all that. They have a big problem to get over this intelligence. Some people, they find it difficult to get over the mind. Some people find it difficult to get over the intelligence. Majority of the people find it difficult to get over the senses. To begin with. Senses and when we talk about body, it means the senses. So, senses is the first thing to get over. Then we have to get over the mind. Then we have to get over the intelligence. Vijnanamayam. So, even Vijnanamayam Alpanam Upasangramya. Manduk Upanishad is saying that step by step, all these things must be discarded before coming to the identity of the soul. So, first Annamayam, that is the senses or the gross body, then Pranamayam, then Manomayam, then Vijnanamayam. And after that, there is one more to get over, that is Anandamayam Alpanam Upasangramya. That is before reaching that soul, I fully realizing the soul, there is the bliss that is coming from the soul. What we are experiencing, even that one has to go beyond than that. So, after this, what will happen is, what will happen after all this is done, that we come to our spiritually realized state. Everything is peaceful within ourselves. And after that, we start singing the song. We start singing the song. The song is, ha ha ho ho ha ho. that is the realization. It's a Samagana. Samagana means from Samavedam. This Upanishad comes as a part of the Samavedam. In Samavedam, these songs comes out. And what happens at that time is that after saying that we are not this body, we are not this mind, we are not this intelligence, we are not this senses, none of that things, that everything what we have discarded as materialistic, everything we have discarded as materialistic says, Ahamannadom, Ahamannadom, Ahamannadaha. All of this is me. All these things what I have rejected. In the process of spiritual realization, when we come to the spiritual fully realized state, we will see that the matter actually has no separate existence. Matter has also come from the soul. So matter, in the beginning you have to reject the matter. In this process of self-realization, first we have to differentiate between spirit and matter because we are under the grips of material nature. But as we make that progress and come to the understanding that I am spirit soul, completely when one it is realized, Manduk Upanishad says there, then you will go back and start seeing that all these things what you have rejected, that's all me, me only. It is from me all that has come about. Because from our soul, all this mind has come, intelligence has come, senses have come, false ego has come, and even the material body has come. That realization, now it's a reverse process. So far we were thinking from going from body to the soul. Now from soul to the body, it comes out everything. This whole thing happens in the opposite way. So, first we said, this is all these things we have rejected, isn't it? Matter we have rejected, body we have rejected, senses we have rejected, and we said we have negated everything, looking for the truth. And when we have found the truth, it says here, Atmanatma vivechanabhimanano vidyat krita rochane. Atmanatma, Atma and Atma. Atma is the soul. Anatma is the matter. Everything not the soul. Different from the soul is Anatma. So Atma, Anatma, that vivechanam. That difference we have understood. What that difference is. And vidyat krita rochane. Anatma nasti. Anatma doesn't exist actually. It is only that temporary thing that has manifested in this world. Body is a temporary thing. Material nature is a temporary thing. All this is not true. That realization will come. Oha viviktam shali mithyavada vijara chindanamado kurvandyaho dushkadam brandhayena paragaha dradadaha tushnim shila avastidaha. That when one is completely fixed in the soul, completely fixed in the spiritual platform, then he is seeing there that everything is this temporary material nature that has come from the truth. Everything has come from the truth. So, one who has realized the truth, he sees that everything is the soul. That now, this realization is not with the intelligence. This is not something to be understood by intelligence. Again, I am repeating this thing once again. When whatever Krishna has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandam is not to be understood by intelligence or mind. If you can leave your mind somewhere and intelligence somewhere and listen to this, what Krishna says, it will do a lot of good. The moment you try to use your mind and intelligence to understand that, you will lose it. You won't get it. That is the important point here to understand in the Ekadasha Skandam. You can understand when you see Uddhava is asking questions to Krishna. Isn't it? Uddhava is asking a lot of questions. Brahmadi samshayame mana, he says. So many doubts are coming to my mind. And Krishna is answering nothing to do with the question. There's no point in answering the questions. Because as far as all the Mahalpas do this, they know that you are coming with questions. This questions is a product of the mind. It's a product of the mind. And mind, what is mind? Mind is a constant flow of thoughts going through one after the other. And if your mind is very active, there will be millions of questions. That's what it shows. If it's very active, there will be hundreds of questions to come out from this mind. Samshayam. Samshayalpa mana. The different definition itself is like that. Samshayalpa mana. My duty of the mind is to doubt everything. It has to keep on doubting everything. So, if that is a situation with the mind, Krishna's point is, it is no point in trying to answer your questions. Because this is not something, soul is not something which you can capture with the mind. Mind cannot capture the soul. It's not possible. Nor the intelligence can capture the mind. Yado vaja nivartande aprapya manasa saha. Upanishad statement. Words cannot reach there, mind cannot reach there, nothing can reach there. They all go up to a certain point and then they come back, saying that we can't explain that, the truth. So the soul cannot be touched by the mind, cannot be touched by the intelligence or senses. So therefore they are saying that up to a particular point you can use mind intelligence, but when it comes to soul, you have to leave it behind, mind and intelligence. So even in satsangam, when we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, if you try to capture with your mind and intelligence, that will not help. That will not help. And Krishna's point that when Uddhava asked this question about the soul, when Krishna answered this, Krishna mentioned this statement that liberation and bondage exist simultaneously in a person. Krishna said that to Uddhava, isn't it? So Uddhava's question is that how can that happen? How can that happen? And if you look at the answer Krishna has given, sa esha jivo vivara prasudi, nothing to do with the question. Going back to the person who is asking the question. Instead of answering the question, Krishna wants to take your mind beyond the mind, take your consciousness beyond the mind and give you the answer who is asking this question. Where is the question coming from? If you understand the questioner, the doubts will go straight away. There will be no more doubts after that. It's an important thing in spiritual life that asking questions and getting answers is not spiritual life. Because that's only a kind of a false ego. Where is the mind coming from? It's coming from the false ego. Mind's origin is false ego. If you look into the creation process, you will see that Satika Ahangaram, Rajasa Ahangaram, Tamasa Ahangaram, three things which came from Mahatattvam, from there then comes the mind after that. So mind's origin is false ego. Here, our problem is this false ego is the whole problem. It is due to the false ego that our existence itself, we are all individual false egos running around in this world. It is not spoken in a derogatory manner. It is to say that the jiva concept, identity with the jiva itself, is based on this false understanding that I am a jiva, and in the jiva platform we are always thinking like this, my conditioned nature is the jiva. Jiva means the conditioned nature. So jivatvam, what it is called as jivatvam, is this conditioning of the soul. Conditioning of the soul. So so long as the conditioning is there, false ego will be there. False ego is there means mind will be there. And when the mind is there, doubts will be there. Doubts will be there, questions will be there. One will be followed by the other. You can't avoid these things. But Krishna is saying here, when Uddhava asked a question, Krishna didn't answer that question at all. Absolutely not. He immediately took Uddhava's attention to the person who is asking the question. If that is realized, this mind doesn't exist, questions doesn't exist after that, and all the other problems are automatically gone. Whereas on the other hand, if you start answering all the individual questions, today you have 5 questions, and if all the 5 questions are answered, you'll come back with another 10 questions tomorrow. That is the nature of the mind. There is nothing you can do. People will ask such questions that if I go back to the spiritual world, what is the facilities there in me? What can you answer to all these questions? If it was so crystal clear, all these answers, there will be no spiritual realization, will there? There won't be any need for self-realization. They want to know what will be my swarupam when I get there. And what happens, is there a time clock there, whether we can look at the time, does it work on a time scale basis, is there day and night, or is there, how does Radharani and Krishna, when do they call us, when do we have discussions with them, all sorts of questions will come out. Why? Because we have understood it in that way, that we have understood spiritual life in that way. That is the problem, that it's alright to think like that, our thoughts will go. All these doubts, after answering, getting answer to all these questions, if I start my spiritual life, it will never happen. Isn't it? Will a spiritual life happen after I got answer to all my questions? No. Sa esha jivo vivara prasudi. Therefore, Krishna is saying, try to understand who you are. If you have realized who you are, then all these questions will stop. Problem is that we have not realized what we are. We are still thinking that I am here, I will go back to spiritual world one day. When I get there, I'm still want to make sure that place is safe enough to go. Or when I get there, I have all the facilities what I'm looking for. So all these kind of thoughts are within us. Why? Because I never care to find out what I am first. I am still making arrangements for my comforts in other places. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, it is not only to Uddhava, to Arjuna also, Krishna does exactly the same thing. All the great personalities, they do the same thing. They want us to move us away from this mind. Beyond the mind, they want us to get ourselves settled in the soul. So unless that happens, and when that happens, these questions will stop. These questions won't come anymore. Because you will know, this asking questions have no meaning anymore. What does it mean? And so therefore, in the spiritual process, when one who is serious about it and one's spiritual realization is inquiry is very strong, Krishna says there that the ahamannam ahamannam ahamannadau ahamannadaha. Upanishads are saying that I started seeing what I am. My real identity I have started experiencing. And it is then that Krishna goes on to the next verse. And if you look into the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, in Bhagavatam many things are spoken at different places. You just have to keep reading and thinking through it. You'll see there that these connections between Krishna says, Adrishe analme anilayane abhayam pratishtam vindade. In the fifth canto, in the 19th chapter, verse 20, you can take it and look at it. Sudev Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, Adrishe analme anilayane abhayam pratishtam vindade. A realized soul, when he has completely really freed himself from the fear of material existence, he is fixed upon this adrishe. Adrishe means one cannot be seen. That is the soul. Analme. And his identity with the soul is such anilayane abhayam pradishtam, that he has completely taken shelter of the soul. That is the nature of a self-realized person. That there is no individual false ego. False ego doesn't exist there. Then when one is situated in that, analme anilayane, Krishna says, when you are situated in that, it is already inside us. This consciousness is already inside. This is another important thing. If we think that most of us are thinking like this. I'm 100% sure. I'm also thinking like that. That it is like this. I'm executing my sadhana now. I'll execute my sadhana for a long period of time, and eventually one day Krishna will come and hand over the knowledge to me. This is how the misunderstanding I have. But what is this misunderstanding? Because if it is something that has to come from outside tomorrow, it can leave us also one day. That is understandable, isn't it? If something has to come tomorrow to us, it can leave us also another day in the same way. But spiritual realization is not like that. Spiritual life and spiritual realization is in everyone. 100% is there inside us. Only what we have to do in the human body, all what is required is to get rid of that what is covering our spiritual identity. The soul is inside, Krishna is inside, the knowledge is inside, realization is inside. Everything is inside. As long as the soul is present inside, all the spiritual knowledge, what we are trying to learn from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, is already there. It's not something that has to come from outside. These books are there to help us to reveal this truth to us. Not that we study the books, write an exam, get the certificate, and then the knowledge will come. That is the biggest foolishness in spiritual life. To think that I will go through the course after studying the books and discussing with others, answering all the questions, then I'll get realization. That realization won't last. The real realization will last only if we recognize inside that this knowledge is already there inside us. Every one of us have it. What has happened to us is, due to somehow or the other, fallen into this identification with the matter and the material body. So that is where waking up is required. Little by little, how we have to free ourselves from the influence of the mind, intelligence, senses, false ego, and the gross body. Once we are released from this, identity with the soul is established. Immediately we are on the spiritual platform and we have realized the truth. We have realized the self. So Krishna is saying here that so long as we don't allow this ego to develop inside strongly, aham, 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 that aham, that there are this identity with the false identity with the body, and that if it is controlled, if it's not allowed to happen. So what is the way not allowed to happen? How do we do that? To realize that our actual identity is not with this body. Every time we have to talk to ourselves to say that this body, I am not this body. Body is not mine. Body belongs to material nature. It's not my real identity. Once we develop this constant thinking inside us, the possibility of that false ego developing will go away. Identification with the body will go away. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Bhagavad Gita is teaching us the same thing. Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us exactly the same thing. So, the only difference is that Jnani calls that as the soul, Atma. The devotee calls it as Krishna. That's all the difference is. Because devotee, that thing is inside all of us. Devotee calls it as Krishna. The Jnani calls it as Atma. That's the only difference between the Jnani and the Bhakta. So in practice, in reality, it is one and the same. Then the soul inside, Jnani refers to it as the soul, and devotee refers it to as the refers it to as Krishna. That no. So what it is that due to our lack of attention, we have lost that contact there with Krishna's presence inside, soul's presence inside. We have lost that connection, and the result is that due to our And if we start thinking, if it is going to happen in the future from outside, after many years of sadhana, sometimes we do think like that. After many years of sadhana, we think that, oh, it is going to happen to me one day. It is not like that. If it is not, that is why Krishna says that in satsangam, it can happen in a second like this. Any second it can happen, that waking up inside, that I am not this body. If it is not happening, it's only due to the prarabdham what we have created in us. Our prarabdha karmam, that is what is stopping it from happening. So, when the karmam is purified, when the bhakti is pure bhakti, and the jnanam is there, automatically self-realization also must happen here. So if somebody says that this is all we have to be careful about in spiritual life, If somebody says to you, I have got it and I'll give it to you, you can take it that he hasn't got it. It's also the truth. In this world, a lot of people are there because this religious world is a much more cheating business than the business world. It's much more happening there. There are many people who say that I have got it, I'll give it to you tomorrow. If you follow me, you become my devotee and I'll give it to you one day. You can take it that he hasn't got it, it's only a con. So this cannot happen. Because why is it like that? If you look into the logic behind it, a person who is saying that, if he is thinking that he has got, others haven't got it, he does not know that others have got exactly the same thing what he has got in the other person. You are already, Bheda Buddhi has come to him. He started thinking, I have got it, you haven't got it. The substance what is in you and me, in him, in everyone, it is exactly the same. It's not different. It's not different. You may have managed to come to, if you have come to the spiritual platform, if Bhagavadam is correct, if Vedavyasa Maharshi is correct, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying there that a realized soul's quality is that he sees the soul in everyone. He doesn't see the body anymore. So if he is seeing body in someone, not seeing the soul, it's a clear indication that he has not seen it either. He's also making that statement in a way which is not the fact, because Bhagavadam does not agree with that. Then some people, you can see in this world, people are so many different kinds of spiritual leaders who come out with all these kinds of statements. Veda darshitvam. Veda darshitvam means the differences, thinking that somebody is the body and I am a soul. That will not happen. When one has come to the spiritual platform, he will see everyone in this world on a spiritual level. If he is able to operate from that level, then he has reached that state. But when you see their statements and when they get involved in all kinds of political discussions and other things, you can see that they have not reached that state. Because spiritual life is not very difficult sometimes, in the sense that one can easily understand that a realized soul, his activities in this world, if you look into Hari Maharshi's statement in the 5th chapter, you will see there that the first class devotee, he says there, isn't it? First class devotee. What is that? First class devotee, he says there, Kavi Maharshi says there, that he says there that ityachyudangrim bhajadona vrityam bhaktar viraktir bhagavat prabhodaha bhavandi vai bhagavadasya rajam tadaparam shanti mupaiti sakshal. The shanti or peace in a person, tadaparam shanti mupaiti sakshal, it is a symptom of self-realization. Symptom of self-realization is not a lot of dancing and jumping and singing. This is not the symptom of self-realization. There are a lot of people, Michael Jackson also was singing very well. That means, is he self-realized? Does it mean that? Because he's singing nicely. Is that self-realization? I don't think so. Krishna himself says this. That Krishna says there, sometimes people misunderstand about self-realization like this. Say, somebody says, oh, if you take a 4 or 5 baths, you are very brahminical. They say like this. 4 times or 5 times if you take bath in a day, you are very brahminical, they say like that. If that's the case, all the fishes in the water, they are always very brahminical, aren't they? Are they not brahminical then? They are always in the water. So they should be very brahminical then. Similarly, people say that if you bathe in the Ganga river, straight away all your sins are gone. If that is the case, all the frogs who are living in the Ganga river, they are already liberated, aren't they? If you look at that way, that they should be liberated. Because they are 24 hours inside Ganga river. All the frogs and all the fishes or whatever, the aquatics, whatever that is inside Ganga river, they should all be liberated according to that. If Ganga river is that, that's not what it means. So similarly, if you look into, some people say, oh, he only drinks milk, nothing else. He doesn't take any grains. So he should be liberated if that is the case. If it is like that, the calf of all the cows are liberated. They only take the cow's milk. So logically, it doesn't go like that. If you look from the spiritual point of view, Krishna is saying here, ityachyudangrim sajadona vrityam bhaktar viraktar bhagavat prabhodaha.
bhavanti vai bhagavadasya rajam tadaparam shanti upayati sakshal.
After self-realization, the important point Krishna is making here, he is in shanti. He is at peace all the time. Shanti is the symptom of the soul. Then sometimes we think that, oh, if a person is making a lot of noise in this world through his bhakti process, whatever, what he is executing in this world, whatever he may be doing. If we start thinking this is all a symptom of bhakti, self-realized, if we start thinking like that, then we are mistaken. Tataparam shanti upayati sakshal. That shanti, Krishna will say this repeatedly in the Bhagavad Gita also. He gives importance to this word shanti. Why shanti? Because shanti means no excitement inside. He's not excited anymore about anything. Because if you go up, you have to come down. Isn't it? That's a law. That if you get very emotionally excited about anything through bhakti or whatever it is, eventually you will have to come down from that platform also. So, Bhoktaram Yajnata Vasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Sukhradam Sarvabhudanam Yatvamam Shanti Vrachari. Krishna talks about shanti there. So, shanti Krishna considers as the aspect of self-realization. Sthita Prajnatvam and Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi, Brahmi Sthiti in the Bhagavad Gita, or if you call the one who has transcended Gunadhidan, or what they call as the Dvandvadhidan, or Yogi, Jnani, Bhakta, all different words Krishna has used there. But this quality of Shanti is attached to all of them. So, Hari Maharshi says there, and then, Kavi Maharshi said that, and in the next answer, Hari Maharshi said that Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana Bhudani Bhagavat Yatma Esha Bhagavadottama. Bhagavadottaman is another word for a realized soul. See, Krishna uses all sorts of different words all the time. Here, it is used as Bhagavadottama. Bhagavadottama means best among the devotees. So, what is the quality of a best among the devotees person? Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana. That in all living entities, he is only seeing Krishna's presence there. In other words, the presence of the soul in everyone is what he sees. And Bhudani Bhagavatyalma Esha Bhagavadottama. That he is realizing himself as the soul and he sees the soul in everyone. If he is seeing like that, there is no Bheda Buddhi after that. He will not say then after that, oh, I'll bless you, I'll look after you, I will take you to somewhere else where you are looking forward to go. So all these thoughts have come because of Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi has come because Veda Buddhi has not gone from inside. If Veda Buddhi has gone, Veda Buddhi means this difference from the falling from the spiritual platform. The first class devotee's quality, Hari Maharshi says here, Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashel Bhagavad Bhava Malpana Bhudani Bhagavatesha Savai Bhagavadottamaha. Bhagavadottamam, the best among, Krishna says there, the devotee is Hari saying here, that Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashel, for him, human body, animal body, or birds, or bees, or trees, and plants, in everything, his vision is based on the soul. He only sees the soul there, not the body, external covering. Sarva Bhudeshu Yapashel Bhagavad Bhavam Atmanam. Atmana Bhagavad Bhavam. That Bhagavad Bhavam means that seeing that soul in that body as well, not that external covering. If he is seeing the covering, then he will say that I will bless you, I will do this for you, I'll take care of you, I'll provide this and all that. But Bhagavad Atmana, he says here, Bhudani Bhagavati Atma Esha Bhagavadottama. Bhudani Bhagavati Atma Esha Bhagavadottama. He is the best among the devotees who has come to that platform. So, here, in this Salsangam, what Krishna was discussing here, Krishna is mentioning that that in this world, that this Vedasthiti means other living entities are different than me. Other living entities, I am not recognizing the presence of the soul within them or Krishna's presence in other living entities. If that is the case, then I am not anywhere in spiritual life. I'm not anywhere in spiritual life. Spiritually realized soul, he will not see any Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi must go from that person. And he will be, one who has reached that stage, his association is satsangam. Krishna is referring to that here. So, if you look also that in the spiritual world today, adhyatmic world today, there are so many people ready there to bless you, to give you with all blessings. But when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you can see all this is not going to happen. It will be a wasted lifetime if we go after such things. Then one who has realized that there is nothing else existing beyond the soul, beyond the spirit soul, he is in a position to know, he is really properly situated to talk about the soul. Then, therefore, now the other thing is that sometimes in the adhyatmic world, because it is this time that we have a reason to talk about this. In adhyatmic world, normally what happens is that because in the Kali Yuga, because of the influence of the present way of life, what we have, it has also affected the spiritual activities of the people, you can see. And due to the Rajogunam, or the influence of the Rajogunam, it has infected the spiritual activities of the whole world in that way. That's why with the advent of television and all the other media's presence, everything, you can see it has got its own, it provides its own glamour to the spiritual world also, to the spiritual activities. So when this happens, quite often what happens is that somewhere wealth accumulates. Wealth accumulates in several spiritual institutions and so many places wealth accumulates. And when the wealth accumulates in places like that, there is always Maya comes also along with that. Maya will do something in that such places also. And you will see that the mistaken understanding of our spirituality will start coming out at that point. How? That also we must know. If you are advanced in spiritual life, if your spiritual life you are concerned about, any amount of wealth is of no concern to you. Is of no concern to you. Even if such an amount of wealth comes, and if it is taken away from you, you would not get disturbed over it. Isn't it? Because your priority is not the wealth. You have come from spiritual life. But having come to spiritual life, suddenly seeing the glamour of the wealth and the money that is coming along with that, and if you are getting affected by that wealth or the glamour of the wealth, that means you have to question your own intentions, what you have come for. This is because throughout history, if you look back, from the time of the Upanishads, which goes about 10,000 years before than this, even according to the historians' calculations, even if you don't accept the Vedic conclusions, according to the historians' calculations, they say 10,000, 15,000 years, whatever it is. From that day onwards till now, in spiritual life, wealth was not an issue at all. Wealth was not an issue at all. Wealth has only become a part of spiritual life in this world today, what we are experiencing here. And if throughout this history of the spiritual life, throughout this whole period of Upanishad's time, right onwards to Puranams everywhere, you will see that they were not disturbed when the wealth was lost. On the other hand, remember this. Whenever there was wealth, all the great Rajarshis, they walked out from that. They didn't hold on to that, this wealth. Why? Because wealth has only its own limited place in this world. You can't take the wealth as everything. For your spiritual advancement, it's not a great help. It's not a great help. So whenever we find that people are getting attached to wealth and holding on to it, thinking that it is spiritual life, you have to question the intentions. All the great sages, they walked out from home, went to the forest, because they didn't want to have any association with it. Because their goals were different. Their goals was not accumulating wealth. They were after the truth. They were looking for the truth, self-realization. That was their goal. For them, wealth is of no use. They walked away from that. All the great Rajarshis in the ninth canto, if you look, all the great kings, they walked away from their beautiful palaces, and with all the facilities what they had, they threw it away and went back to the forest. What does that show? It shows only one thing, that if wealth is the one what is going to decide your spiritual life, then you may as well pack up. It's not the reason. That's why there are two different fields altogether. There are two different fields altogether. And we, because in Kali Yuga, because we are so degraded, not able to see many things in the proper way, what do? We associate, identify with the wealth, everything. Even spiritual life is identified with the wealth. Spiritual life is identified with the wealth. The result of all that is we never get spiritual life. We get distracted from the goal. We get distracted from the goal. If wealth, fame, and things like that, followers, if this is what decides the spiritual life, then it is a big misunderstanding inside. It's the same thing. It's exactly like the wealth is followers. Exactly like the wealth is the fame, all these things. If these things are driving a person's spiritual life, that person's not going to make it. He'll hang around here. With this, Krishna says, you can have your followers, you can have your wealth, you can have your fame. All of this has nothing to do with spiritual life. That is why, if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there, in the first canto itself, Ahaiduki apratihada yena alma samprasidadi. Krishna says, these are only understood if you come to the spiritual platform. If you are on a materialistic platform trying to understand spiritual life, you will never understand this. Ahaiduki apratihada. If you have decided to advance in spiritual life, yena alma samprasidadi. Nothing can stop you from doing that. For your own spiritual advancement, nothing can stop you. Poverty cannot stop you, or any other material problems in this world cannot come on your way in realizing the truth. In realizing the truth. Savai pumsam paro dharmam yado bhakti ratho kshaje ahaituki apradihada yenalma samprasidadi. It's a Sudha Goswami says to Shavanakrishi, Savai pumsam paro dharmam. Our most important dharma is yado bhakti radhokshaje, that how to develop, realize this truth of Krishna inside. Haidugi apradihada, and there is nothing that can come on way. Apradihada, nothing can stop you from realizing the truth. All that is required is this genuine, serious interest in spiritual life, in realizing the truth. Ahaiduki, and there is nothing cause behind it. There is no more. Nothing will stop you from realizing the truth. Because it's a spiritual activity. It's a connection with the Krishna, connection with the soul. Well, how can anything come on its way? That's what the question Sudha Goswami asking. Enalma samprasidadi. When that happens, only then spiritual life happens to us. Otherwise, it's not spiritual life. In the modern world, so many things are going on in the name of spiritual life. Propaganda develops into accumulation of wealth, fame, followers, and what else? And then constantly battling with others. You have taken my followers, I have taken your followers, and then they're fighting each other. And each one trying to save their followers. All sorts of nonsense is going on in the name of spiritual life in this world. That's why the fundamentals, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavadam, they are forever, all times. It can never be any time refuted. And these are the realizations of the sages as well. In the Srimad Bhagavatam you will see that. So, and sometimes you will see also other things, that if you are truly in spiritual life, you will not protest in this world anything, because they are not in the spiritual life, this world. Once it so happened that many Buddha bhikshus, you know, the Buddhist monks, who were living in Tibetan places like that, the Chinese government locked them up, because they don't believe in any religious life, isn't it? So they have taken their freedom away and locked them up and gave them a lot of trouble. I mean, their practice of spiritual life was prevented. The Buddhist monks who were living a life in their viharas, in whatever way they were conducting their spiritual life, even that was stopped by the Chinese government. So at that time, after they were tortured by the regime, and they were put in a lot of difficulties, some of them have come out and made some statement. There's a beautiful statement some of them says, that this situation taught us something more, which we would not otherwise never learned in spiritual life. What is that? By when we went through this stage with the regime, who are trying to give us so much trouble externally,
internally our realizations were getting stronger. We started seeing the foolishness of this whole world. So we also, in the same way, that if our spiritual interests are above everything else, whatever that happens in this material world, we will not be concerned about it. When we start worrying about the material world, we can take it that our interests are not spiritual anymore. It's much more on the material platform. We go and protest everywhere, isn't it? We have to protest because we have been told we have to protest. So we all go, bunch, to solve the problems of this world. Whether it's here or elsewhere, doesn't matter. This mind is always thinking. For a spiritually looking person, one who is trying to realize the truth, they are not an obstacle. In fact, because that's not what he was looking, the Buddhists were saying that we were fortunate that everything is taken away from us. Now we don't have to worry about managing these temples and whatever they are, Buddhist viharas and all that. He says that government has taken over that responsibility. They are just giving us some food and asking us to stay. We'll stay. But it gave us a lot of realizations, they are saying. So from renunciation and from that knowledge to develop, that it also helped them to give up the bodily concept of life. Otherwise, we won't leave this bodily concept of life. Bodily concept of life is such a strong thing that as long as it's there, we'll be thinking about in terms of the body. We have to establish ourselves in this world. That many, many spiritual experiences, they were saying that it has happened while we were in the prison. It was in the prison they had all the spiritual experiences. That this is all a spiritual process. In fact, the whole material nature has created this world in such a way that it is all meant for spiritual development. It's meant for spiritual development. That so this is also something material nature provides us for our own purification. When these difficulties are coming, it should be accepted in that way. Otherwise, we will have to fight with every government in this world. Isn't it? There won't be many governments who will be interested in providing us all the facilities what we need. After getting all the facilities and all the governments gives us, and then we will start our spiritual life, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So the thing to remember here is that Ekadasha Skandham, Krishna is saying to us certain things. Come to the platform of the soul. Do not waste your time on repairing this world. World, you can't repair it. You, no matter how much you try to change this, it will always be the dog's tail. It will go back again to the same situation. So, another thing is that if one has come to this understanding, Krishna says, if he has got this Vaisharadi Buddhi inside, then he will not waste his time in doing all these kind of things. So, later on we will see this particular message. Krishna wanted to give it to us very nicely in a different way. And that is when Bhikshugita was spoken. Bhikshugita story, as you know, the Brahmana, old Avanti Brahmana, how he went through his life, all the miseries of this world, and how he accumulated a lot of wealth, and eventually when he realized the futility of everything, one day he sings the song, that is Bhikshugita, isn't it? Bhikshu's Gita, that is Bhikshugita. Bhikshugita means more or less a person who is begging alms. Bhikshu, one who is begging. So it is his song. He was able to sing that song because he realized the truth. It is after self-realization he is singing that song. So up to that point, he had all the wealth in this world. Crores and crores of rupees he has collected. And this happened in that place in Avanti Brahmana's story. It is there in the Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Krishna is saying that Brahmana, up to that point he thought he will accumulate his wealth and he will collect all this money and he will be happy living in that way. But when by Krishna's mercy, it says there, by Krishna's mercy this happened. What happened? One side, the house got into fire. When the house caught fire, all the peoples came and they took whatever they can from the house. It's not like here when the fire engine comes straight away, those days. There was no fire engine or anything. Nobody came. Everyone thought it's an opportunity to get what they want from the house. They all took that. Then at the same time, because his dealings were not very clean, the inland revenue of that particular government, whoever was ruling, they stepped in and took away all the money, tax money from him. Because he had a lot of underhand dealings going on at that time. And when he had the wealth, he never gave it to anybody. He never gave it to anybody. He kept all to himself. It was his great happiness. When you get attached to wealth, that's what happens, isn't it? This is everything for me in life. I have to enjoy and this will protect me. We put our faith in two, three different things in this world. One is this wealth. Wealth will protect me. One is my physical ability, physical strength. And the third one is the relatives. These are the three places where we put all our faith in. And these are the three people who will ditch you at the last minute. These three. So wealth will be taken away by RBS or HBOs or somebody. It will go like that. And health, you never know. With all the good food what we are eating and the good karma we have created for ourselves. And relatives are concerned, they will say goodbye when it's the right time. So anyway, this is important thing is, Bhikshu also thought the same thing, that it's going to protect him. He made the same mistake. So Krishna wants to tell us that when I took away everything from him, when I withdrew everything from him, Krishna was a student at that time in Avanti. It looks that Krishna has witnessed this scene with Balram and Sudama together. They have witnessed this, what has happened there. So he was saying this, that I have seen this happening to this Bhikshu. From this, I have to tell you, Uddhava. Uddhava, if you try to take shelter in any of these things, it's going to fail one day. It will fail. It'll fail. So the main point Krishna is making here is that in spiritual life, none of them are your shelter. Those things are not our shelter. They're just there. It happened to come due to our prarabdham. It came on. Sometimes you get a lot of money, sometimes you get nothing. Whether you get it or you don't get it, yogam samatvam uchade. Krishna says samatvam is the yoga system talking to us to do at that point. So after realization, Bhikshu sang a song in the Bhagavatam known as Bhikshu Gita. There's about 25-30 verses, very important verses. Nayam janome sukadukha hedum. This people whom I was thinking, they are the cause of all my misery. Now I realize I have nothing to do with them. First of all, I was trying to protect my wealth from them, that they will take away my wealth. But wife and children, because he never gave them anything, he always tried to keep to himself. Probably he gave them an allowance or something. I don't know what he was giving them. But nayam janome sukadakha hedu nava deva dalma graha karma gala. Na devada, nor the demigods, planets, karmam, kalam, none of them are responsible for my this present situation, he says. Nayam janome sukadukha hedu. My happiness and distress is not dependent on any one of them. Na devadatma graha karma kala manaparam karana mamanandi samsara chakra parivartayo bhul. That I keep on rotating in this world of karma, only because of this thing called mind inside. I learned that. As soon as he said that, Krishna understood, he got the message. And Krishna walked out from there. Krishna left that place. So there, that story is spoken only to tell us that when the, that whatever we do, so long as we are identifying with the body, with the mind, with the intelligence, we cannot escape from this. So this is why the importance of self-realization, that as long as we are identifying with the body, why is it like that? Because when we identify with the body, somebody abuses or somebody insults us or somebody glorifies us, we'll be affected by that, isn't it? Because we are identifying with the body. If you are not identifying, when somebody glorifies someone in this world or insults someone, actually he is insulting the body. He doesn't know that you are insulting the soul or anything. He doesn't have any such idea. First, it's coming from that, vibrations are coming from the, insults are coming from that place. So, if you are not in the bodily concept of life, like that, Bhikshu Gita's case, Bhikshu has reached that state. Krishna is saying there, it will not disturb you. So, it is at that time all this knowledge should come to our help when we are going through a crisis like that. Many times we think that we will study all these things and later on we will use it sometime. No, if this knowledge goes in, Krishna says it will come up at the time when you need that help. So, only when such situations happen, we will ask the question, who am I? Who am I will come when all these things happen in life. Otherwise, who am I? Also won't develop inside. So that's the point. And then, what do? When we get into difficulties, first thing what we do, we go to Krishna at the temple. Isn't it? We go to Krishna at the temple. And we start complaining to Krishna, why you are giving me all this trouble? What are you going to do about me? Are you going to put me through this misery all through the life? And how do I have to... All these kinds of doubts develops inside. Everybody, devotee, non-devotee, doesn't matter. We are all in the same boat. We are all in it together, as they say. That's exactly what happens to all of us. When the trouble comes, we don't think any other way. Immediately takes Krishna shelter. Say, a problem with the health, a problem with the relationships, a problem with the wealth or job or any such thing, any material distress when it comes, first thing we approach Krishna. We feel that we are not serious about Krishna consciousness. That's why these things are happening to us. So we become a little serious at that time, isn't it? Little bit serious at that time. And that seriousness will also go when that problem is solved. It'll go back to, again, to the old state. So here, the important thing here, Krishna is saying here, that even while when we are doing all these transactions in this world, if we have understood that, who is actually experiencing all this distress? Who is actually experiencing that? This is the time we have to keep asking this question, who is this going through this distress in life? And when you start seeing that it is Krishna who is going through this distress, not us. Because the soul inside is Krishna's part and parcel. What we have done is, we have separated from Krishna and saying that, I am experiencing, you are giving me this trouble. But actually, if you see that, we are part of Krishna. We are part of Krishna. Only due to identification with this body, we are experiencing the distress of this world. The moment we start realizing that the soul from whom the mind has come about, and the mind is creating all this distress inside, it is actually Krishna who is experiencing our distress also. So strictly speaking, this distress doesn't exist. This distress doesn't exist. It is something that is the beauty, that is the capacity or capability of this mind, able to create this feeling inside, oh, I am suffering due to this, I have all these anxieties for my life, I have to worry about this, worry about that. Millions of things every day in our consciousness it is working. So,
adeha dhanyaha bhavandamittam yad vasudeve akhile lokanatham kurvandi sarvatmanam atma bhavam nayarta boya parivartamugraham.
This continuous changing of the body inside us, situated as Antaryami. Krishna is present inside as the super soul. So super soul within the body, he is experiencing this distress. When we are experiencing the distress, actually, strictly speaking, it is Krishna who is actually experiencing that distress. So, therefore it says here that even while the body is engaged in all kinds of transactions in this world, transactions on this world, if you look into the 14th verse in the 11th chapter, Krishna will tell you what one should do in that situation. 11th chapter, 14th verse. What does Krishna say there? Krishna says there that the that yasya sarvida sangalpaha pranendriya manodhyam vrtayasa vinirmukto dehastobhi tal gunaihi dehastobhi tal gunaihi. That yasya sarvida sangalpaham vida sangalpam. Krishna says here, whose pranan, senses, mind, intelligence, everything is free from sangalpam. You see, vida sangalpa pranendriya manodhya. What is sangalpam mean? Sangalpam is nothing but the imagination that is happening inside the mind. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has gone through it in depth, a lot more than in the Bhagavatam. Because we need to understand Bhagavad Gita well to understand Ekadasham. Yasya suru vida sangalpaha pranendriya manodhyaha. Pranan, manasa, indriyam, buddhi. All these things are under the control of the mind. Mind is a big influence on all these things. Altogether, it is called the chittam. The chitta, the andhakaranam, it's called the internal senses. External senses are 5 senses of knowledge and 5 senses of action. The internal senses, which is known as andhakaranam, is all these things. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. All these things together. So, if a person has completely freed himself from all sankalpam, sankalpa means everything is a sankalpam in this world, if you look at it that way. Just for example, on various subjects, we put our intelligence to think and analyze things, isn't it? And various sankalpams builds up at that time. A realized soul, while operating in this world, he does not allow sankalpams to get in. Sankalpams to get in. For example, that is the only way you can operate in this world as far as Krishna is concerned. A self-realized soul, when he is operating in this world, Krishna is saying, Vida Sankalpaha. He has no more Sankalpam. What does that mean? He does not think that he is doing anything, number one. He is not doing anything. He is completely surrendered to Krishna. That he is thinking that Krishna wants me to do this, I am doing that. He is completely under Krishna's control, in other words. He is not making his own plans to do anything. He is thinking according to Krishna dictates from inside. This is all internal thing. Krishna dictates from inside and he is acting on that without questioning anything. That is first thing. I am not the doer. Secondly, I am not the enjoyer. While he is executing things in this world, what happens? There will be results coming from that, good or bad. Whatever happens, he doesn't bother. Look at it. Even he doesn't think about the results either. Whether it is beneficial to others or not, he is not bothered about that. He carries on doing what he has to do. That is Vida Sankalpam. Vida Sankalpam is an important thing. That he will not be affected by the results of that. Yasya sura Vida Sankalpaha Pranendriya Manodhiyaha Pranan Manasya Buddhi Indriyangal. None of them has any impact on him. In all its activities, he keeps himself aloof from that. So that is one of the important points. Vrittayasya vinirmukto dehastho bihital gunaihi. That all the vritti, all the activities come from these things. He is a vinirmukto. He has freed himself from all of that. So if such a person, even if he is situated within the body, Krishna is saying here, he is not bound by anything. He is not bound by anything. On the other hand, he is liberated. So this is what Krishna is saying here, that the proper way to deal in this world is like that. Krishna says it's like that. Unfortunately, it is difficult to get this point across to people who have a lot of faith in their mind and intelligence, isn't it? I am to make the intelligent decision, they say. To make an intelligent decision. And what they do, they call everybody and make consultations, isn't it? For example, in many, many big, big issues, you can observe yourself in this world. Leave aside your own life. Look at the big leaders, what they do. What do? When there is a crisis, they call others and they consult, isn't it? They consult. And they will develop what they call it as brainstorming. Isn't it? Brainstorming. It is with this brainstorming they are going to fight the war. Imagine. And after all this brainstorming, when they go there, they find something else happening there. And then they say, oh, we didn't think about that at this time. So why is it like that? That is Maya. Maya's way is like that. All your so-called brain, mind, intelligence, all this has got a limit. It finishes there. So liberated soul won't make decisions like that. Liberated soul won't make a decision like that. Yasya sura Vida Sankalpaha. He has no more sankalpam anymore. This is only spoken in order to make us understand that liberated state is not an ordinary state. In ordinary state, we give importance to all these things. This is mind, intelligence, everything we want to think. Some people want to go into very minute details before they make the decisions. Only then they feel peaceful about it. But in material world we have come, we happen to be here, Prarabdham has brought us. We don't take any of that into account in making the decision. We think right now, I should have complete control on all the situation, what I am doing.
This is our inside is telling us. So we become very attached to that and we make decisions in that way. So, but for a self-realized soul, Krishna says he doesn't make decision in that way. That for him, pranan, mind, buddhi, intelligence and senses, they are all of no importance to him. He is operating from the spiritual platform. That is why Krishna has spoken like that. He will eat food in this world. He will sleep in this world. So for such a person, who is doing all that, that he has no vikalpam. Vikalpam, sangalpam and vikalpam, two things you have to think about. Sangalpam and vikalpam. Sangalpam, vikalpam is the nature of the mind, isn't it? What is sangalpam and what is vikalpam? Sangalpam is something that you have thought about in your mind. You are analyzing a particular situation. So you want to make a decision about that. You start thinking about it. Oh, these are all the positive side, positive things in this particular activity that is favorable. And then you start analyzing all the negative things, what can come from that. And then you start weighing up to this. This is called sangalpa vikalpa. So in this way, if you start living in this world, you will have no time for spiritual life. You will be busy with analyzing all the problems of this life. And if that is why we don't have time for spiritual life. This is the reason why we don't have time for spiritual life. Everything we are analyzing every minute, and we are spending a lot of time in analyzing and processing our final decision before we make that final decision, whatever it may be. And this is considered to be the normal norm in this world, isn't it? Everybody does, most of the people do like that. And they have advisors for giving this advice on these things. That's why big governments, they employ advisors, isn't it? Specialists, experts, or to give you advice on various things. But this way of, this is materialistic way of doing things. Spiritually advanced person, he doesn't think, Esyasurvida sangalpaha pranendriyamanodhyaha, then vrtayasa venirmukto dehastho bihital guneihi. He sees straight away that dehastho bihital guneihi. This is all relationship with the body. It's all relationship with the body. There itself the fundamental mistake he wants to avoid in doing that decision making in that way. So there is a huge difference between the material way of doing things and the spiritual way of doing things. As we start realizing and as we start taking Krishna's words very seriously, taking very seriously, our understanding of this connection with this material world also will go. Understanding of this material world will also go. That's the most important thing. Sometimes we say here many, many things, but then we are not able to take it to heart. We are not able to use it in our own life. All the liberated souls, jnanis, they act on that platform. They act on this platform. So, sangalpam and vikalpam, Krishna has spoken about this, pranendriya manodhiya. Even the hunger and thirst, Krishna says, even that is a game by the pranan is playing inside. Pranan is playing inside. From pranan, it gets enters into the mind. And mind will create the sangalpam. And buddhi, the intelligence, will give the proper assistance to the mind at that time. It is at that time when buddhi also helps, intelligence helps. At that time is when we say, I am feeling hungry. So first pranan demands, then the mind supports and intelligence goes along with it. That's when we actually feel hungry. Also, sometimes you can see somebody is eating, you feel hungry at that time. Isn't it? That's also happened. Somebody else is eating, you're feeling hungry at that time. Because he's eating, I'm also feeling hungry. This also happens. So we were discussing that last Sunday also, that Shadurmi, we talked about the Shadurmi. What are they? Jara, the hunger, thirst, shogam, moham, sukham, dukham. They are the Shadurmi. Shadurmi is all related to the body and the mind. And generally, an advanced person in spiritual life, he is supposed to move beyond this Shadurmi. Shadurmi, urmi means a wave. the six waves of the Shadurmis, the six waves that comes into our life and constantly crushes us inside this body. So then now after that Krishna spoke about something else. What was he saying? He was saying there that once we have brought our attention to ourselves, we will see there that one should protect that attention. How that attention is being paid should be guarded very carefully. That is where Ekadasha Skandam is a bit difficult in that way. All these instructions are, unless one personally takes interest in that and does it, it's not going to happen. Institution cannot help. Spiritual master cannot help. Only the devotee himself has to do it. There is no other alternative to that. So here, Shabda Brahmani Nishnado Na Nishnayat Pareyadi Shamastasya Shravalo Adheni Mivarakshadaha. Krishna mentioned this before. Shabda Brahmani Nishnadam, that one who has studied Shastram and understood from that, Na Nishnayat Pareyadi, that he has to be come to this understanding that all the time attention should be on the truth, focused on the truth. What do I want from this life? What is the goal? This should be always inside. And with the result of that is, Krishna says, your attention will not move into matter or to the material world. This is not something what we can do on a programmed basis. At every moment in life, Krishna is saying that this understanding of the desire for spiritual realization should be in the front of everything else. If it is like that, Krishna says, automatically the Vaisharadi Buddhi will guide him through to get himself established in the soul. Otherwise it will not happen. So that's why Krishna is saying there that right now here itself this should happen. Why? Because Nastu Vidana Vindeda Kurvadasadvasadva Vadado Gunadoshabhyam Varjita Samadrang Munim. Then he spoke about people who have come to this realization. What is that realization? He says here, that if somebody insults him or somebody glorifies him, he will not be affected by that. Why? Vadado gunadoshabhyam varjita samadrang muni. That his mind has come to that state now that it will not bother him anymore. Because he is always fixed upon the truth. So there is not a big difference what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam on these matters. In Bhagavad Gita, exactly the same thing. Krishna mentions that when we talked about Karma Yoga. That is why one should study Karma Yoga chapter in depth. So that you will know that the qualities what is required for Karma Yoga is what is Krishna is stressing in Ekadasham also. And the same thing you will notice again when Krishna is talking about the qualities of a devotee, Bhakta. And the same thing Krishna will talk about a Jnani as well. So practically speaking, most of the things what Krishna has talked about in different places in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is very much the same thing. Only difference is at different times it's addressed in different ways. Sometimes Krishna says devotee, sometimes Krishna says jnani, sometimes Krishna says yogi, sometimes Krishna says a dvandvadidan or a gunadidan or a sthidapratyan or in different terminologies Krishna has used there. But practically, all the qualifications are very much the same. See, sometimes what we think is that we read Bhagavad Gita from a, you read it with a mind trying to understand it, isn't it? So when you read Bhagavad Gita, what happens is, people tell you that, first chapters are related to karma, then another six are related to bhakti, another six are related to jnanam, like that. But karmam, bhakti, jnanam, all these things, although it is spoken in that way in the Bhagavad Gita, if you understand the message from Bhagavad Gita, you can see there that the
qualifications, what is expected, or the qualities, what is expected of us, whether you follow the karma, jnanam or bhakti path, are very much the same. They are not different. They are not different. So it's the same thing will come into Srimad Bhagavatam also. A jnani realizes certain things, and through his intelligence he has come to one conclusion. A devotee surrenders everything to Krishna, and he comes to the same place where the jnani gets to. There is not a difference there. The vijaram means thoughtful nature, thought power. Through thought power, jnani realizes certain, comes to certain conclusions. What is that conclusion? Is existence of the soul and his identity of the soul. He comes to that. And when he comes to that platform, constantly through his utilizing his intelligence and the mind, he comes to that understanding, and then he realizes that what exists is only Krishna. Krishna exists. Other things are temporary matter, and they have no real substance. He comes to that understanding. A devotee who does not have that nature of thinking, analyzing in that way, what does he do? What he simply does is, he surrenders everything to Krishna, all his life, and hands over himself to Krishna. And in that way, he also comes to the same conclusion at the end. So, practically, the realization that comes from the jnani and the bhakta is very much the same. Then the what happens after that reaches a self-realized state. That is what the state of self-realization means. So when we reach that state of self-realization, Krishna is saying there that the qualities or the features of that person, whether he has come through jnanam or through bhakti, is one and the same. There won't be any difference at all. It's not that if I come through bhakti process, I will act in a different... There is a lot of things to understand here. I will explain that once again. If you look into all the self-realized souls in this world, take for example, starting from Krishna. Krishna is self-realized. Who else is self-realized? Sudeva Goswami is self-realized. Vedavyasa Maharshi is self-realized. Isn't it? Vasishtha Maharshi is self-realized. Janaka, King Janaka is self-realized. Isn't it? Srirara Maharshi is self-realized. Have you noticed? Not all of them act in the same way. They all act in a different way. This is the reason when Arjuna and Uddhava asked Krishna, how does a self-realized soul behave in this world? Krishna won't give a direct answer to that question. Because there is not one way that a self-realized soul will act. That also you can notice. Krishna in his self-realized state, what all did he do? He came, he played 5, 10, 12 years in Vrindavanam and Mathura, stealing the butter, exactly like a child's pastimes. And this relationship with the gopis. Self-realized soul is doing this, all this, remember that. And then relationship with the gopis. After that, went to Mathura, established the kingdom there, installed Vasudev, Ugrasena is the king there, and then started the war against so many different kings, Jarasandha, Shishuvala, and so many others. After that, went to Dwaraka, married 16,000 wives, had an amazing householder life after that, and not enough, went to Hastinapur and made this relationship with the Pandavas, and in order, with the pretext of protecting the Pandavas, conducted this Mahabharata war. This is all a self-realized soul is doing. Remember that. A self-realized soul is doing all these things. Did all that, and eventually gave this transcendental knowledge to Uddhava and left this world. This is one self-realized soul. Sukadeva Goswami does not want anything to do with this world. Another self-realized soul. His Sukadeva Goswami's activities, if you will read, who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, he is so transcendently situated, but not interested. So much in renunciation, vairagyam and detachment. The kind of things what he has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, although he is a self-realized soul, what he has spoken, Krishna, if you analyze Krishna in the light of Sudeva Goswami's statement, Krishna hasn't followed anything. You can see the difference. That when we say that, it is not being questioning Krishna, not that. What we are saying is, The features, if you try to ask this question, a self-realized soul, how does he act? How does he behave? There is no answer to that question. They will act according to their upadhis. Upadhi is the key thing there. Don't know what the actual translation word in English for upadhi. Upadhi means that according to the way they have trained themselves up, or they have developed their way of thinking, or their way of executing things, they will do it that way. But in the consciousness, Uday Goswami, Krishna, they are all same. That's the important thing. In consciousness, they have no relationship with what they are doing. No identity, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. It doesn't exist. No ragam, no dvesham either. So in consciousness, they are all same, but in their activities, they are all different. Sukadeva Goswami is different than Krishna. Then, if you take King Janaka, Janaka Maharaj, he was running the whole kingdom. A whole kingdom from Mithila, he was running, isn't it? He and they are saying, in the Bhagavatam also, not in Palmapuranam and Skandapuranam says, Sukadeva Goswami went to Janaka Maharaj to get transcendentally instructed from him. And Sukadeva Goswami, such a renounced soul, goes to King Janaka, who is running a whole empire in the self-realized state. So again you can see the difference. A king who runs a whole empire but he is self-realized. Again different than Sukadeva Goswami, different than Krishna also. So Vasishtha, for example, if you take, Vasishtha comes much before, isn't it? Vasishtha is Lord Ramachandra's spiritual master. So Vasishtha Maharshi, if you look into Vasishtha Maharshi's life, you will see he was very particular about his sacrifice, homam, yagam, danam, japam, all the daily routine. He was very particular about that. He won't make any shift from that. He had complete, he will do that, otherwise he is not properly peaceful within himself. He is peaceful in that way. He is self-realized, but he does all these things. He does all these things. So spiritual life, these are the things to understand. That we shouldn't go just like a stereotype machine churning out so many things. Self-realized devotees are not churned out like that from a machine. They come and they will have their own vasanas inside. They will have their own way of doing things. But in consciousness, Krishna says they will all be the same. Consciousness, they will all be the same. They will be not different. If you understood this point, you will not get confused when you read Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, if you start evaluating their activities, Dhruva Maharaj acted in one way, Prahlada acted in another way, isn't it? Prahlada acted in another way. So, self-realization is not anything to do with how you act in this world. Sometimes you see some great realized soul, he will have consciousness outside from here. They all have their consciousness. That is what we are saying here. Esyasur vida sangalpaha. Pranendriya manodhiyaha. That pranan, manasa, indriyam, buddhi, all these things don't act for them. They just act what they have to do. Why? In consciousness, they are on the realized state. They can act from that way. So we misunderstand when we see Krishna's activities. People don't think all these things. They are thinking that, oh, why did Krishna do this? That doesn't make sense to us. That why was he going with the gopis? Why was he doing all these things with the gopis? And was Radharani married? What his relationship with Radharani was? All this kind of, what questions are they called? Some kind of questions come from people, isn't it? They don't see these thoughts behind it. That when you try to understand Krishna, you have to understand these things of Krishna's activities. It is in the background of all these things you can see all their activities. Krishna's activities are absolutely on a spiritual platform. They are from a realized state. Krishna is acting. So Krishna consciousness also is based on this understanding that spiritual realization gives a different light into everything. Otherwise we misunderstand many of the things. So that's why, so here you will notice here, that's why I'm saying here, when Krishna spoke to Uddhava, he did not talk about their activities. He only said, when they deal with the world, how they act. That is the consciousness of those people, or that's what is described here. Nastu vida nanindeda kurvada sadhu asadhuva
വധദോ ഗുണദോഷ അഭ്യം വർജിത സമുദ്രം മുനി ന കുര്യാന്നവതേൽ കിഞ്ചിൽ ന ധ്യായേൻ സാധ്വസോ അതുവ ആത്മാരാമോ അനയാവൃത്യ വിചരേ ജനവൻ മുനീ. സൈസിയ that kinjil na kuryal na vadet sadhu asadhuva na dhyayet. When they see in this world, they don't say that this is right and this is wrong. This is sadhu, this is asadhu. They don't say like that. Because there is no attachment to anything, good or bad. They don't think like that. Then,
Atmarama anayavritya jadavanmuni vicharet.
When you look at them, you will see Atmaramas they are, isn't it? They are enjoying in the soul, not in the body anymore. And because they are engaged in the soul, that it may appear to you as though they are jadam. Jadam means they are very dead, dull. They are very dull. It may appear like that. And this is what has happened to whom? To Bharata Maharshi. Remember Jada Bharata story in the fourth canto? It is after self-realization you have to see Bharata Maharshi's activity. If you read Bhagavatam, you will see there when he got attached to that deer. When he got attached to that deer, Sukadeva Goswami says there, a great powerful king gave up all material comforts in the family and in the kingdom, came to Gandaki River to practice spiritual life. And what happened to him? Due to some prarabdham, that is what he says there, arabdha karmam. Due to prarabdham, he got caught in that deer. Isn't it? The deer caught him. And if you read the words he has spoken about the deer, you can't believe this, how such a thing could happen. He has given up all his palace facilities, comforts at home in the kingdom, and the amazing wealth. He was the emperor of the whole planet at that time. Bharata Maharshi gives up all that and comes to Gandaki River, and there just got somehow attention drawn into this deer, and the baby deer came out and saw, and he got attached to that deer. And the things what he has spoken at that time, if you read in the Bhagavatam, you could imagine that his attachment to the deer was so strong. He was thinking about the deer day in and day out. He was thinking about the deer. What will happen to the deer if I don't look after? Will any other wolves will come and eat this deer? And is he sleeping okay? In the night, he was waking up and looking at the deer. Is he sleeping okay? The baby deer. Is he sleeping okay? And if sometimes he had to go to the village to get some milk to feed to the deer. And he was doing that. So, to such an extent, from one person has come for self-realization and he fell into that state. And Krishna Archana Prabhavo no Jahadi, because he says to Rahugana, my dear king, I did one thing. Because I was interested in spiritual life and I did serve Krishna to some degree, therefore that memory followed me. The result was that when I lost that body of the deer, I was able to give up the body at the same place where I got it from, number one. And that memory followed me very strongly. And because of that, in the next life, when he came as Jadabharata, in that realized state, what was that realization? That I will not talk to anybody. Because it's only that I allowed my attention to fall into the matter that I fell victimized in the last life. So you can see from this how alert they were not to fall into this material way of life or to this illusion. So from the realized platform he is saying this, that to such an extent he said, I want to finish in this life, I don't want to come back again here. Therefore Jadabharata took all precautions in the last life as the Brahmana's son, that even to his parents he won't speak one word. What to talk about? The father had to give up his life because of this son at the end, thinking that I have got a son like this who is so dull and who will not speak, and what am I supposed to do with him? And not only that, all the king's servants, they came to train him up, to use him for carrying Rahugana's palanquin. If you know that story in the Bhagavatam. Story is not important. The important thing is to understand that how that self-realized soul acted in that way, at that point. At that point, how he acted. His action was such that I'm not going again doing this. And knowing very well, Bhadragali came out, and Bhadragali understood who she is talking to. So, Nasavida, that is what it's mentioned here. Naskuryana vadel kinjil nadhyayen sadha sadhuva atma ramo anayavritya vijare jadavan muni. Only thing is, when we read all these verses, we realize how far we have to go. Isn't it? Yeah. When you read these verses, we are thinking of 16 rounds and one Mangalarti and a few distribution of books back to Godhead. We are ready to go, aren't we? But when you read this Ekadasha Skandam, you will see that how much more inside we have to clean up. Cleaning up is required inside. It makes us feel that the spiritual life, we thought that it was going to be done in a few months or a few years, it's not going to finish in few lifetimes. Na vijarel na kurya na vader kinjil na dhyayel swadhva sadhuva alma aramo anayavritya vijare jadavan muni. Vijare jadavan muni. That he is always conscious of these things. Jadam. He becomes a jadam. Jadam means he is thoughtful. Very, very thoughtful. Thoughtful in the sense that in order to look after his own interests, that he has understood what on a theoretical level he has understood what is right and what is wrong. Now he is trying to apply that in his own life. And that is where we have the biggest problem. Problem is not theoretically understanding. Problem is practically bringing into our own life. And that is why Krishna is saying the easiest process for doing that is satsangam. If in satsangam, if you capture this, in due course of time, this influence will start working from inside. There is no other way, Krishna says. Na raudhayadimam yogo, na sankhyam na uddhava. Uddhava, none of the other things are as effective, as powerful as this process is, what Krishna has discussed here. So, even nastu vida na nindeda. Even while engaged in the family affairs, that Krishna says there that if you find that somebody is suffering a lot in family life, you encourage him that don't worry about family life so much. There's no harm in telling them, because if you the family life is such a place that where everyone gets stuck, isn't it? Everybody gets stuck. For the husband and the wife, they both get stuck in the family life. In family life, if we take all these things seriously and we spend all our time in that, Krishna is saying these qualities of self-realization will be very difficult to develop there. But if we keep our mind focused on these words Krishna has spoken here, that you have to say to those people, Krishna says here, that the nastu vida na indeda, that everything, even if it's something goes not very good, in family life that's what happens, isn't it? You do something, husband says, oh, you've done the wrong thing, you shouldn't have done that. The wife says, oh, no, you didn't manage it properly, that's why it has happened. Don't do that. That's what I'm saying. Because ultimately, everything is a loss at the end. So if you keep that perspective, Krishna is saying that encourage them, don't make an issue out of anything, any small thing. Don't make an issue out of it. Just ignore, learn to ignore it. And sometimes we forget all these things. When things happen in life, we forget all these things. We become very tense about it. And we become very serious about it. That we didn't manage it, that's why it has happened. But ultimately, if we accept that, Prarabdha Karma is coming. And we will get what we are meant to get in this world, and we won't get a penny more than that what we are meant to get. And even as far as food is concerned, happiness is concerned, distress is concerned, also Krishna is saying, Prahlada also saying the same thing. Self-realized soul will say those things to us because they have realized, they have seen the value of all these things.
what we are taking so seriously in life. And that is why it is said these words are spoken here for the householders to keep it in mind. And that's the only way to break up from the material life. Otherwise, continuously, if we want to run our material life perfect, according to our plans, and then to become self-realized also at the same time, it won't happen. It just won't happen. When we come to the self-realization state and we want to make self-realization as the priority, at that point, we have to let loose these things go. Let these things go. Otherwise, it will haunt us throughout life and we'll be victimized by that. So, Vaisharadi, Buddhi and all is only doing these things. It's not a big rocket science, the spiritual life. Spiritual life is nothing but transforming this knowledge in the Bhagavadam, what Krishna has spoken, practically into our own day-to-day life. Whatever that is happening in our day-to-day life, if it is not happening today, if somebody tells you, look, you keep on living your life, after death you'll go back home, back to Godhead, that is of no use to me. He said, will you take it for that? Will you accept that statement? Somebody tells you, you live your life happily, comfortably in this world, chant your rounds, you'll go back and back to Godhead. If something is of no use to me today, where is the guarantee it will happen tomorrow? Who is telling you that guarantee is there? And not only that, right now, what is spoken in the Shastram should become a practical thing in our own life. Otherwise, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam you will see, when Arjuna and Uddhava has spoken to Krishna, they want to know right now, what should I do? Right now I want to know it. That's why Arjuna asked Krishna, isn't it? Krishna says, what should I do now in this present situation? So spiritual life is not, the result is not to be obtained much later. We mistakenly understood like this, that I will live my normal life in this world, I'll follow the regulative principles, I'll chant Hare Krishna and 16 rounds or whatever I can, I'll go on a parikramam, I will pay my obeisances to my Guru Maharaj, I'll do all these things, and after death I'll go back to Godhead or to the destination wherever we want to go. But that is not the proper understanding of spiritual life. Spiritual life means today, right now, here, in this world, when we are in this body, these changes must be experienced by us, what Krishna is speaking here. If it is not happening to us, we have to look at why it's not happening and where changes have to be made. Otherwise, it has no meaning. If everything is kept for the after death to happen. After death, what happens? Who knows? What will happen? that's like some people will tell you that, oh, everything will be alright. And then others will tell you, after you are dead, they'll say, oh, yes, gone back. Where is the guarantee that you have gone back? Guarantee. Just because I said somebody has gone back, I say, gone back. Do I have the key for the door there? This is all bogus. This is all, don't trust any of these things. These statements is all misleading. Completely misleading. Uddhava and Arjuna will not fall into this. They won't fall for this kind of promises. They want right now here, what is there for me going to happen to me. I want something in spiritual life that will change me here, in this very moment. And Krishna is saying there, this is the knowledge that will change you. Nothing else will change you. This is the knowledge that will change you. That is why, if we simply study Bhagavad Gita, Ekadasha Skandam very well, in depth, you will see that spark of change that will happen within oneself right now here. And then you will be able to reject many things in this material world. You won't be able to accept it. Because that is spiritual life. Spiritual life means this realization. Otherwise there is no spiritual life. Without any realization, whole life, if I have carried on doing things as I was told, what good is it at the end? Where is the realization then? And then I am told that everything will be there after death. That is a false promise. That doesn't help. That is not what spiritual life is all about. Spiritual life is all about right now experiencing. Because Krishna is saying there, the soul is inside. Soul has the qualities, absolute qualities of the truthfulness, the eternity, blissful knowledge. All these things are inside us. All it is required is, Krishna is saying, remove that dirt from inside and the soul is completely in the realized state. And it is not going to come from elsewhere. It is going to happen right within now. In this very moment, insight should happen. So it is in this connection
that Krishna is going to bring this 13th chapter. Because in 13th chapter, what has been spoken there is that what is that coverage on the soul? What is inside that is prohibiting him from realizing the truth. And that is where it is said that the three modes of nature, in normally in our present state of existence, the mind and the senses are interacting with the sense objects, isn't it? So senses and sense objects are interacting and mind is enjoying that or suffering from that. So normally the senses are like the windows in this body, the windows for the mind to go out. So if you close the windows, the senses, what will happen? This is the most intricate question here. The sense objects are there, the mind is inside. And the windows are in between, the senses, they are in between. If you leave these windows open, the sense object saying will come to us. Will come to, if you leave it open, it will come to us. If you close these windows, the mind says, all right, the window is closed, isn't it? But I'll come to you. Instead of you coming to me, I'll come to you. So these windows are not windows like in the material world. Through these windows it goes out, but these windows are some tricky windows in the sense that when the sense objects are saying that if we leave these windows open, they'll come to us very freely. In other words, senses go and pull them in very easily. And the mind is trying to enjoy or suffer due to that. If you close the senses, mind says to the sense objects, look, all the windows are closed, so because you can't come to me, but I'll come to you. That's what the mind does, isn't it? If you look into the mind, what happens? When you deny sense gratification to the mind, mind says, forget about it, I will enjoy myself within, with the sense enjoyment. It will happen inside. If I cannot go and do it in a gross level, my sense enjoyment, if I restrict myself by stopping all the windows, closing all the windows of this the senses, then immediately the mind is saying, all right, if you don't allow me to go, I will enjoy here in association with the sense objects. How does this situation, how can you resolve? This was the question which was raised by the Kumaras to Brahma. And Brahma, when he heard that question, he got a little stuck with the answer to that. What was the reason for that? Reason also mentioned there. Brahma was engaged in karmam. Too much karmam will ultimately bring this state. Karmam is not a state where karmam causes this problem. Karmam is a part of rajogunam, isn't it? Rajogunam is karmam. So when the karmam increases, for a moment, Brahma also could not answer that question because he is always absorbed in karmam. Karma means creation process, srishti, creation process. So creation process has trapped Brahma in that. Krishna says, it is at that point I had to go and discuss this matter with the Kumaras. So it is that discussion that happens between Krishna and the Kumaras. Krishna comes as a swan and the four Kumaras present there. Together there is a discussion in the Ekadasha Skandam in the 13th chapter. We'll discuss that next Sunday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.